And have this Tosfos over here in the bottom of Chesed Aleph throws us right into the fire, right? Throws us right into the fire of the entire sugya of Hefshar Kelim. So let's just review the Gemara and then we'll get into the Tosfos. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bar Avuah on the bottom of Chesed Aleph, Sakin Shel Avodas Kechavim Mutar Lishchot Bo." You're out the chef with the knife of Avodas Kechavim that was used for Avodas Zarah. We discussed, but you're doing that, violating that which the Torah said. You're not supposed to derive benefit from the knife. So he said, yeah, we quoted from Rebbe Elchanan, that's only when it comes to something that requires your intention. If it's determined by an action, so then that happens. So even though the Torah said not to do it, the Yavel Lomahani doesn't apply here. And the shechita would in fact be good. But you're not allowed to use it to cut regular meat, because then you're benefiting from the knife. And the knife is prohibited in all forms of benefit. So you can shech with a knife, that's not considered to be a form of benefit. But you're allowed to shecht with it. Again, why is that not considered deriving benefit? Because you said you're really causing more harm, more damage than you are. Benefit, right? Because the animal before was alive, now it's dead. You really can't call that benefiting from the knife, because the animal before was alive, it was much more valuable. Now it's dead. So yes, you did make some positive adjustment here, right? The animal now is permitted to be eaten, whereas before it was prohibited, but Tosfos said that's outweighed by all the destruction that you caused by killing the animal, whereas before it was alive. But if you're cutting meat which has already been shechted, so then you are enjoying the knife. Before it was inedible, now it's edible. You're creating more of a positive benefit than any kind of destruction you're causing by the knife. That would be benefiting from the knife, and that would be prohibited. And you're not allowed to cut the meat. But if you're going to shecht, mekalkehu. So even though you are benefiting, the destructive aspect outweighs the benefit. We said that's not the same as Shabbos, right? Shabbos, if you do anything where there's any kind of benefit at all, even if it's outweighed by the destruction, so that's a malacha of Shabbos. Here, when it comes to benefiting from a knife, so we said we look at the sum total of what exactly is there, and here is the sum total. You destroyed more than you benefited. We had Thanksgiving in between. We have to review everything we discussed before Thanksgiving. The turkey already, you know, they say there's chemicals in the turkey makes you fall asleep. So that's so we have to review a little bit. Okay, then the Gemara continues. Amar Rava, Pamim Shashaychet Aser Bim Aser. Even if you shecht an animal, could be Aser Bim Misukenes. If the animal was not worth anything while it was alive because it was about to die, so then if you shecht with the animal, you are benefiting more than the destruction that you're causing. That's considered to be a benefit, and therefore the animal would be prohibited. You're not allowed to do that. And the animal would be prohibited. We ask, normally we have a concept, mitzvah slavli hanas netnu. A mitzvah can never be a form of benefit. Here there's a mitzvah to do shechita, so the answer is obvious. You don't have to shecht. You don't have to shecht. So how could it be a mitzvah slavli hanas netnu? Mitzvah slavli hanas netnu is a mitzvah that I have to do. That's not considered to be a form of benefit. I said I don't want to benefit from you, and you have a mikvah, and I said I don't want to benefit from you. I'm allowed to still use your mikvah if it's cold outside, because I'm not enjoying the water. I'm just benefiting from the fact that I was yoytze, you know, I became tahar. Becoming tahar is not considered a form of benefit. A mitzvah is not a form of benefit. So over here isn't shechita a mitzvah. How is this considered benefiting from the knife? Mitzvah slavli. Understand what the answer is? This is a mitzvah you don't have to perform. It's a mitzvah harashus. If it's a mitzvah harashus, so that's why we don't apply the rule mitzvah slavli. Understand? Fine. Then the Gemara goes on. Asim misukenes mechatek muter ba'ambati dekaima lekorbanah. But typically, 1 second. So it says the Gemara ba'atami dekaima lekorbanah. So the Gemara says but typically, 1 minute. Even if you're permitted to shecht with a knife because you're causing more destruction than you are benefit, typically mishum shamnunis di sura. 1 minute, but there's schmaltz on the knife. How could it be it's ever permitted to shecht with this knife? But suddenly, how could you even cut the meat? Forget about the fact that you're benefiting from Yisuri Hana, from Avodah Zarah. But what about the shamnunis that's on the knife? So the Gemara says, no, b'chadosha. B'chadosha? 1 minute, it's a new knife? So how is it asur b'hanoa? How is this a knife of Avodah Zarah? Chadosha, ben Yishmael, ben Rebbe Kiva, misham she'avodis kachavim heinu, misham she'avodis kachavim heinu, asun ad she'yeh avdu. It doesn't become a knife of Avodah Zarah until you use it. If you haven't used it, it's not a knife of Avodah Zarah. Sigmar says, no, either I cut wood for the Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah, but there's no fat, there's no residue on the knife. Or maybe it's an old knife, but I kashered the knife in the fire. So this, right, so now we're only dealing with the fact that the knife is also banah. Forget, there's no more schmaltz on the knife either because there was never schmaltz, I cut wood, or because I kashered the knife. So here, Tosfos raises a major issue, and Tosfos literally runs through Kemat all of Hefshar Kelim. over here in this one little, one big Tosfos. So Tosfos asks the following. Sounds like from this Gemara, in order to kasher a knife, you have to put it in a fire. Kasher, what, who, what, where, what are you talking about? Kasher and things. So in order to understand what Tosfos is talking about, we first have to know Parshas Matos. Here the Pasuk says, look at the sheets Rabbi Sain. Pasuk in Parshas Matos. It says, after we conquered the utensils from the Bnei Midyan, after our war with them, all these are six types of metals. The Torah only mentioned six types of metals. So we presume these are six examples of metals they knew about. There's a famous verse from the Vilna Gaon that they quoted, and the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky used to pass them like this, that it's only these six metals. Any new metal that we'll come up with will not have the status of metal in halacha. So therefore, aluminum, according to the Vilna Gaon, might not have the status of a metal in halacha vis-a-vis Hilchos Hechsher Kelim. But more importantly, vis-a-vis Hilchos Tefilas Kelim, you wouldn't have to toivel aluminum Kelim. If you're going to toivel them, they don't require a bracha, because the Torah over here in discussing Tefilas Kelim and Hechsher Kelim was only talking about these six types of metals. It lists six types. So I would assume these are the six types of metals they knew about at the time. They didn't have aluminum. Aluminum is a kind of alloy, right? And I don't know where...
It's kind of metal.
It's its own metal? Oh, it's on the periodic table.
Yeah.
Right, but I guess they didn't...
They hadn't discovered it yet.
They hadn't discovered it yet. So therefore, first of all, it's also important in the airplanes are all made out of metal too. So in terms of kahanim, if a metal conducts tumah or brings tumah, so if it's not considered to be a metal, maybe it wouldn't have this, it wouldn't act in the same way when it comes to Hilchos Tefilas Kelim or Hilchos Tumas Kahanim. Most don't accept the Vilna Gaon Lamaisa. Rav Meisher is a tshuva about it also. We generally don't assume like this. If you tovelt aluminum, we would tovel aluminum kelim with a bracha also. So then how come all of our tin pans don't need tefillah? So maybe they do. Rav Shechter, I think, is of the opinion tin pans do require tefillah before you use them. So I always say, well, yeah, but what does the Rebbetzin do? I'm not interested in what he says. You can't get it through your own kitchen, you know. I don't... But many disagree, and they hold that the tin pans don't require tefillah, not because aluminum is not a metal. These are six examples, not an exhaustive list, but they're disposable. Disposable kelim don't require tefillah's kelim. So if you use them more than once, you have a problem. Yeah, if you're going to be machishivish about it, then if you're going to reuse your Snapple bottles also, you need to tie on it. We only don't tovel the Snapple bottle. We assume that it's disposable and it comes with the liquid inside of it. But if it's not... Now, disposable is not the same thing as what most people think. You get one time using a kli before you can tovel it, before you have to tovel it. That's not the same thing. A disposable is one time and then it's garbage. So you would say, yeah, but in certain countries, third world countries, tin pans might be a gray sashiris, right? You know, why do we deem it as disposable? Because it's beneath our socioeconomic standards to use such a thing. Again, yeah, but it's our halakha is determined based on our socioeconomic standards. So for us, it's disposable. It's disposable. So Snapple bottles would also be disposable. If you decide to use it again, you would probably require... Tefillas Kelim. So I would not use tin pans. Again, there are people who do that. They wash them. And turkey basters, I think, those heavy, heavy tin pans that cost $15. Yeah, that people might use again, and then you would require Tefillas Kelim before the first time you use it. Right? If I plan to use it again, you require Tefillah, not after the first time. The first time, let alone the second time. Okay, but anyway, so the pasuk says, "Ach zavas akesvas achayis shabayis abriyavas forest." These six metals called davas sheyavu be'esh, when they took over these kelim, which were not new, they were old. So anything that they used in the fire, we have to put in the fire before we use it. Tavir be'esh v'taher. Ach be'meinida ischata, and then afterwards you have to put it in meinida. Anyone know what meinida is?
A mikvah.
That's the water that the nida goes into, and that's the mitzvah of tefilas kelim. So first we have hechsher kelim, we have to kasher the kelim, and then you have the mitzvah of tefilas kelim. B'chol asher lo yavu be'esh tavir b'mayim. If it wasn't in the fire itself, it was in hot water. We have to put it in hot water. So those are two types of hagalah. One is known as libun, right, putting it in a hot fire. The other is known as hagalah, putting it in hot water. So Rashi says the rule from the Gemara Masechet Pesachim: kederech tashmisho hagalasa. However it was used, that is how it has to be kosher. Now what is the fear? The fear is that the flavors of the non-kosher food will come out and taint whatever kosher food I later cook in it. So if they cooked pork and beans in this pot, and I'm going to come and cook, lakshin kugel, we will have a flavor of pork and beans. So you have to kosher it. Tefilas Kalim, that's not to remove any kind of flavor of the Macholos Asuras. That's even a nukli. You have to tevel it. That's a mitzvah. So therefore, the Issa V'Heter is a classic Rishon, appears on every page of Yeridah. Rama quotes him constantly. So the Issa V'Heter says, that's why we make a bracha on Tefilas Kalim. There is no bracha on Hechsher Kalim. Hechsher Kalim is in order to avoid eating Macholos Asuras. Tefilas Kalim is a mitzvah. Right? So you make we discussed last time, because you're kashering the kalim, right? You're being megayer. I'm sorry, you're being megayer the kalim. The kalim used to belong to a non-Jew. We explained metaphysical principles that our religious status, spiritual status, affects our inanimate objects as well, right? So the kalim that belong to the guy are goyish kalim. They have to be converted. So there's a bracha on tefillah, just like a ger makes a bracha when he converts. Hechsher kalim is to avoid eating machalas asuros. So therefore, there's no bracha. But the way that it received the flavor, that's how the flavor will come out. The language of the Gemara, which about this, which is the cardinal rule, the cardinal rule of Hechsher Kalim is kibolo kach polto. The same way it came in, easy come, easy go. The same way, or hard in, hard go, right? The same way it came in, that's the way it goes out. This principle is found over here in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, which is where Hilchos Hechsher Kalim appears, and also in Maseches Pesachim, where it talks about kashering kalim for Pesach. So let's just see it inside. The Gemara says Maseches Avodah Zarah and Heim Beis is a basic source in all Hilchos Hechsher Kalim. Halokeach kli tashmisha min ha'evdei kochavim. A person buys kalim that are old. People do this all the time. You say, who buys used kalim? Someone told me now that people are buying used clothes. There's a rent of clothes. You can rent clothes. You know what I'm talking about? The real. Anyway, so people are so against commitment. We can't even commit to buying our own clothing. We have to rent it and then throw it out the next day.
You rent tuxedos.
People are renting shirts for a meeting and then they're getting rid of it. Anyway, but people go antiquing all the time. That's a common thing. People buy used kalim. It's not considered to be used, eBay used. That's like a big thing. Like it's an antique. So all of a sudden it becomes wonderful. So, but now, yeah, but it was used by the guy. So it's treif. So not only is it new kalim, you have to kosher it. Yeah. What do you want to say?
No, so when people are antiquing, they're not using that stuff.
Of course they use it.
Just put it on display. Right?
No. Passage. Want to use it? So okay, kli tashmish and oide kachavim. You'll say, who does this? It happens ma'isim b'chol yon. Dvarim shol nishtame b'shbahen matvilan. If they never used it, you tevel it. Fine, you make a bracha. Dvarim shol nishtame, which kalim require tefillah. So it says over here in the pasuk, metal requires tefillah. Earthenware does not require tefillah. That's tefillah, right? If it was cooked with non-kosher food, the flavors could come out. So earthenware is still going to be a problem. China will be a problem. For hechsher kalim will not be a mitzvah tefillah kalim. We don't tevel China. Glass, the Gemara says, we treat like metal. Why? Because if it breaks, you can fix it. You got your metal, you can heat up and put back together. The Gemara says glass also was made from a combination of like sand, and as opposed to earthenware, when it breaks, you can't do anything with it. Glass, you can reheat and put it back together. So glass, we toivel with a bracha. Most people don't know that. Glass is with a bracha. Metal is with a bracha. China, we don't toivel at all. Some people say, yeah, but China has a glass glaze on it. So Moshe says now that glass glaze is so botel, so negligible to the China, so the meaning is not to toivel China at all. Anyway, so getting back. So the Mishnah says, the Brisa says over here on Avodah Zarah, and Heim Beis, Halokeach kli tashmish v'noidei kochavim. Person buys something from a non-Jew. He goes antiquing. Dvarim shel nishtamish behem matbilan behem tahorim. If he never used it, he toivel it, and it's tahor. Dvarim shel nishtamish behem noidei tzoinen. If he used it with cold, no problem. Wash it out. Cold, why? Because flavors don't enter into the utensil unless you use it with hot. If you use it with cold, so wash it off. People ask this, mamish, if this shayla, at least twice or three times a week. A guy trafe something up with cold. Cold, he didn't trafe it up. He used the wrong gender, meat and milk, but everything was cold. Everything is cold, so you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to, because it'll lead to problems. But in the end of the day, everyone goes home safely. Fine. Okay, so you clean it off with a caustic substance, right? You got to make sure you get it all off. And then everyone goes home fine. Sleep easy. Or but you use it with hot. Then you put it in hot water. That's what's known as hagolah. Or let's say I used it directly with the fire, without the medium of water, what we would call barbecue or roasting. There's no water there. That's not bishul, that's roasting. Ah, now I got to have direct heat in order to remove it. Like what? Like a spit? Or like a barbecue? Oh, now yeah, I need direct heat in order to get rid of it. So Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim the following. What do we do when it comes to our knives on Pesach? Amale Ravina Ravashi. Hani sakinu bepischa hefei avdinu. What do we do with our knives on Pesach? Why? Because it's going to have flavor of chametz inside of it. What are we going to do with it on Pesach? That's like macholos asuris come Pesach time. Amale lididi chadota kavdinu. And he says, no problem. I buy new ones. Okay. He says, you're a fine mensch. Amale, your best friend mentioned. Teinach ma, de efshale, you're a rich guy. De efshale ma, what about us? Kolniks. What are we going to do? Amalei, I know ke'en chadota kamina. He said, I don't buy new ones. Don't start throwing insults at me. I make it like new. How do you make it like new? Kataihu betina. I coat the handle in mud. Uparzilayu benura. And I put it in a hot oven. Meaning direct heat. V'hadu ma'ilana v'kataihu beros. And then I take the handle, I take the mud off, and I put it in hot water. So Gemara says that was a chumrah, but we really paskin idi beroskin. You can just dunk it all in hot water. Because what are you using your knife for? Most people are not roasting meat on their knife; they're using the knife to cut hot food. But it was never directly in the fire. Since it was never directly in the fire, you can kasher it using hagalah. It's only if it's directly in the fire, like a barbecue. Oh, then you have to kasher it.
You have to use the knife as a spit.
Ah, so Tyson's gonna bring that up. Amar Avunah b'Reid Rabbi Yeshua, but that's not the assumption right now. Amar Avunah b'Reid Rabbi Yeshua. Eight per magil beroisim. Okay, fine. Tabol al kach potel. Same way it goes in and comes out. Okay, so we understand. There's tefilas kalim. That's even a new kli in order to be magay the kli, and you make a bracha. That's a mitzvah. Then there's hechsher kalim, which is to remove anything that absorbed the flavor of non-kosher food through heat. There's no heat, nothing to discuss. And there's a difference. If there was a medium of water, it comes out with a medium of water. If there was no medium of water, then you know, it's direct heat. Then you require direct heat in order to remove it. That's kabo kach potel. All based on the rules of the parsha. In Parshas Matos. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Pesach. It also appears in Yeridea. It appears twice. One that's regarded to Machalos Asuris, one to regards to Chametz and Pesach. There are a number of differences between the two, which always need to be examined. But here the Shulchan Aruch states the general rule. Siv Dalet Siv Hei. Kei Kuleyum Shir Tashmishim Bahem Aydeya Or Pagan Shvudim Achsalos Chayyotzibem Tzrikan Libun. If you use it with direct heat, require direct heat. That's called Libun. By Libun, what is Libun? Sha'ach Yuni Tzaitzis Nitzim Mehem. It has to be glowing red hot. That's why there are people who used to use blow torches on Pesach. So we really paskin, I didn't give it to you, but the Ramo says, no, it's enough with what we call Libun Kal, which is as high, you know, about 550 degrees. There's some question, how does, you know, dry heat the same as like a blowtorch? Okay, but we assume dry heat, so let's say a self-cleaning oven gets up, you know, to 750, 800 degrees, that's also like a blowtorch. Self-cleaning ovens is nitzaitzis nitzin, sparks flying. And but we assume, at least with regards to chametz on Pesach, it's enough with 550, what we call libun kal. It doesn't have to be that hot. Kelim shenishtamish ben b'chamin. If you used it, you know, with water, kefi tashmishin hechsher. That's how you kasher. And tashmishin be klivishin. Let's say I didn't even use it on top of the fire. I use it in what's known as a klivishin. I took the pot off the fire and I walk around with that hot water. It's the pot that it was cooked in, but I walk around with it. It's no longer on top of the fire. Okay, so do hagala on that. And if it's hagala with pouring hot water, let's say our sinks, how do you kasher a sink for Pesach? You pour hot water on it. How did the sink get absorbed chametz in the first place? By hot water falling on it. No one cooked in the sink. Oh, so then how can you kasher the sink? You take hot water from an urn and you pour it over the sink. That's how it became absorbed chametz. That's how chametz goes in. Okay, that's a lot of halacha in 2 minutes. Okay, but that's a basic idea of hechsher kelim. Now let's get back to, by the way, 1 second. What if there's some kelim that even though the flavor goes in, it never comes out? So that's based on a pasuk. You have to know this. Is this based on a pasuk by karbonis? Because what happens when you cook the karbon? However, they made a karbon, they ate the meat. They didn't eat it raw, not animals. So you cook the meat. What happens to the kelim when you cook the meat? You'll say, what do you mean, what happens to the kelim? Who cares about the kelim? Throw it out. No, the problem is, it absorbed the flavor of the carbon. What happens after 24 hours, from the time you bring the carbon, it becomes noisar, which is prohibited in Hana. So you have to kasher the kli after you're done cooking the carbon in it. Otherwise, the flavor in the kli becomes noisar. It becomes prohibited. You're not allowed to leave it over till the morning. So you have to kasher the kli. The pasuk says, though, in terms, in that context, That's only if it's a metal kli. If you cooked it in an earthenware kli, you can never kosher it. It must be broken. Because the flavor goes in, it never comes out. So therefore, the pasuk says, "Ukucheres asher tevusha bo yishaver v'mklei nechushas bushala morak v'shuta b'mayim." If it's nechushas, you can kasher it. If it goes in, it comes out. The same way it went in, it will come out. The kucheres never comes out. And Rashi explains this based on the Gemara. Kevan she'ena yoyz midei dofi li oilam. So, Chaver, if you really, we were thinking about this deeply. I said, "One minute, if it never comes out, so why can't I use it again? It's stuck in there. It's never coming out." No, the answer is, of course, Tosis is going to explain here, it comes out, but it never all comes out. Right? It comes out little, drips, drabs, it's coming out, dripping and drabbing, but it means it'll never all come out. So it'll come out, and it will trafe up the food that I later cook in it, right? It'll make everything else with the blia of Noisar, which is also, it'll have a flavor of Noisar, but it comes out, but it means it will never all come out. So that's why if you have earthenware kalim and it becomes treif, nothing really you can do about it. You have to break the kli or throw it out. It was a big thing in Muncie 20 years ago when there was a butcher who was found selling non-kosher meat, which everyone bought for 10 years. So obviously it's very distressing because they were all eating non-kosher meat. They were all eating non-kosher meat. But also, what about all the china? Oh, yeah. Everyone's got to throw out the china sets. There's really not much you can do for China. There's one idea that the Baal Eater has, based on Yerushalmi. Baal Eater says, "Wait a minute, it comes out a little bit. We all know it comes out a little bit. Otherwise, you could use earthenware kalim again. It got stuck so far in, it never came out. What am I concerned about? It has a flavor of a non-kosher food, but it's never coming out. No, what it means is it comes out, it's going to taint everything I cook in it, and it will never all come out. So how could it be? What is there, an endless supply of flavor in this thing that it just keeps, like it's a minum is gather of trey flavor?" He says, if you cook it in so many times, it has to come out. There can't be anything left, right? It must be some physical law of physics that it just can't keep coming out and have an endless supply. So in fact, there's a Yushalmi, it's quoted over here by the Shulchan Aruch, that says, if you cook in it three times, then you could assume that it all came out, even if it's earthenware. So we really only rely on that for Yisurim Derabbanan. If it be an Yisurim Deraisa, we wouldn't really rely on that. But the Baal Eater's opinion was you could even rely on that with regards to Yisurim Deraisa. Here it says in Shulchan Aruch, with regards to Bishul Akum, if enough we cooked in a kli, which is only an Yisurim Derabbanan, you have to kasher the kli. But if it's earthenware and you kasher it three times, you put it in hot water three times, right? So it came out a little bit the first time, came out a little bit the second time, came out a little bit the third time. What's left that's coming out the fourth time, then the kli is kosher. So you could kosher all earthenware utensils by dipping it three times in hot water. That's the Baal Eater. We don't accept that. We really only accept it by Yisurim Derabbanan, but that was his opinion. So Moshe is a famous tshuva to Baal Tshuva. I say, because a big problem with the Baal Tshuva is he's going to have to throw out all of his china. He could kosher all of his other stuff. What's he going to do with all his china? You tell him, "Sorry, dude, you know, you want to become Jew, you want to become Frog, this is part of the sacrifices you have to make." You could take that approach. That's really hard line. Ramosha was a little bit more of a softie. So Ramosha said, "We want to help this guy do tshuva." So Ramosha said, "The Baal Tshuva, only Baal Tshuva could rely on this Baal Eater to tovel their china three times, wait 12 months and tovel their china three times, and then they could use the china." So Renubiko likes to tell the story that he was involved with a couple that was doing tshuva. They were on the process, thinking about it. And he told them this kula from Rav Moshe. And they ended up becoming Baal Tshuva and using the same china. And they later on told him that was a turning point. Because it was tension with the husband and wife. Should we do it? Should we do it? And when they heard they could keep the china for whatever reason, that was it. So you see? Rav Moshe, that's the school from Rav Moshe. Okay, anyway, but we don't really rely on that. So even though it will come out, kli cheres, you really can't kasher, you gotta break. What if it's glass? So if it's glass, that's a famous machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, big difference between the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim. The Shulchan Aruch says glass is so smooth, it never absorbs anything. Look over here. Simon Tafnun Aleph, Sifcha Vav. And even if you use it with hot, they don't accept any flavor. The Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says just the opposite. It's like earthenware. It comes in and it never leaves. My guests, right? Guests come, guests never leave. Guests are like fish. You stay too long, you start to stink. So it never leaves. It comes and never leaves. That's how the Ramah understood glass also. So Ashkenazim are machmir not to use the same glass on Pesach or the same glass for milchus and fleishiks. Svardim could be makel. Rabbi Avadya goes so far as to say that Ashkenazim can even though have the same set of Pyrex. Pyrex is a kind of a glass that's made to be used with hot. Because there's a third opinion. Somehow the glass was so smooth they didn't absorb anything. Somehow the glass was porous, like china, and it set flavor and it never left. And somehow glass could be koshered, like metal, but what's the fear is if you put it in a hot oven, it'll break, and therefore you won't leave it in long enough. So that's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah over here in the brackets. Mishnah Berurah says, "Matzasi b'chidushi aritva." Hashem Eroah, the daito, the gam klikus of chukas boileya v'tzarech hagola. You can kasher glass. Al the kasef shem da gola go mahani v'mishum dechayes shem apaka. You're going to be afraid it's going to break. You're going to pull it out too early. She said, "But Pyrex, no one is afraid." So Bavadia held even Ashkenazim could have the same set of Pyrex, or could kasher Pyrex from milchiks to fleishiks. Back and forth, because even Ashkenazim only were afraid, not that the glass should be treated like china, but that it might actually break. Pyrex, no one is afraid he's going to break, so you could kasher glass back and forth. Akitzamai, so many hold this is only a chumah de Pesach. The Rambam only has this by Pesach. He doesn't make any such comment with regards to Macholos Asura. So we have two sets of good drinking glasses for fleishiks and milchiks. That's the common minag. First of all, it's all used with cold, right? So what are you really afraid of with drinking glasses anyway? But that's the minig, and we would not kosher back and forth typically for glass from milchiks to fleishiks, certainly for Pesach, but throughout the rest of the year we might be makel for Pyrex to kosher back and forth, but not on Pesach. So Ashkenazim are much more machmir in the glass. The Sfardim, you could have one set of glass, milchiks and fleishiks, it's all good the glass doesn't absorb anything. Okay, so let's go back to our cases. What did our Gemara say? You have a knife that was used for Shechita Chevah. Would you say that's called using it with cold, or that's called using it with hot? Well, the Gemara is going to discuss that. That's the next whole sugya. That's the next thing Gemara raises. The Gemara seems, well, maybe it's hot, because the base Shechita is hot. When you shech the animal, it becomes like hot. Because it's not sure, but what kind? Okay, but is it hot that you require Libun? It was used with direct heat, or that's like cooking? That's like cooking in hot water. Yeah, exactly. What you want to say?
When you said how like you do the same way coming out.
Yeah.
Cold. What's the way to learn? We said for hot water, what do in terms of cold?
Nothing. Wash it off. We said just wash it off. Cold. Nothing happens. No harm. No foul. You're not supposed to do it. Only when it gets cooked. Yeah. There. Look. A serrated knife will have stuff caught in the serrated, I don't know what they're called, but the blades of the knife, right? If you use a serrated knife, stuff gets, gook gets caught. So you can't do that. So you have to really clean it well. But once you clean it, you're okay. Yeah, much more simple. So Taisa says over here, so it sounds like from here, a knife that was used for shechita or a knife requires libun. Wow. It says Taisus, Hadis Nan. Now that we're all Bekiyim and Hilchos Hefsher Kegel, we can apply the rules. So he says, Hadis Nan, Mesef, Mesechus, Tavay, Dezer. We just saw that Gemara, Sakin, that if it's cold, you don't have to put it in a hot anything. Sakin, Shafa, Bekarka, you put it in the ground. You put it in the ground 10 times. It's not a skula. What it was is that was a caustic material. The ground would get rid of the shamnunis that was on the knife. That would clean the knife. Didn't have soap. So how are you cleaning the knife? They used to put it in the ground. That's why some people, if they touch their shoes, are likely to wipe their hands on wood. It's not like wood is known for its cleansing properties. It means you got to get rid of the dirt on your hands so your hands are clean. So to over here, it means you put it in the ground. You're putting it in the ground is just a way of cleansing the knife. So sack and shuffle cover heat to hero. Put in the ground, and that cleans the knife. The sagi bin eats a bakaka. It's enough if you put it in the ground and cleanse it. Eser palmim 10 times. Is that a skula number 10? It's like a sarma maros niver. This is because that will cleanse the knife. Velo boy libun. No, who ever said you have to put a knife in direct heat? It wasn't used with direct heat. Hanu lachtuf but seinen. You just cut cold. So why should you require to put it in libun? Kedama hatsmi gamarva haka de mukila kishalibne baror. Even though the Gemara later on is going to suggest that the base hashchita is roseach, that's why you perhaps require libun. The Gemara is going to bring another opinion. The base hashchita is not roseach. The base hashchita is tzainin. It's like cold, in which case you wouldn't have to kasher it at all. But to account for the opinion that Gemara mentions later on, that the base hashchita is roseach, so perhaps you should require libun. B'tema. Okay, fine. So we understand Liba. Okay. Why? Because maybe the base of Shechita is hot. But then Tosis Rekta Tasha. B'tema. The Mashma. Okay, the Be'id Libun. Knives require Libun. You should take a knife. How do you cut your knife? You put it in the fire. I think we had that over here also. The Gemara and Masechtas. Oh no, the Gemara Pesachim. Now he's going to get to the Pesachim. Okay, so our Gemara says you need Liban for knives. Tosfos then says v'tema the repair kosha mashma the sagi ba'galo. That Gemara we saw in Pesachim where he asked them, what do I do with my knives? Come Pesach time. So the Gemara said, "Idi v'idi b'roiskin." The handle, the blade, you could just put it in hot water and you're fine. Because what is the most you use this knife for? To cut meat on your plate. That wasn't used with direct heat. So put it in hot water and you're okay. Hani sakini de pisco heka dino hu maskinan hilkasa idi v'idi b'roiskin. So it's enough with hagoa. You don't require libun. So why is that Gemara saying, you know, even if the Beis HaShechita is roiseach, even when you shech the animal, that's considered to be hot because there's hot blood that's flowing out. That's not direct heat with a fire. That I should require Libun, that's enough with Hagala. Come here, it's enough with Hagala. And that's what the Gemara said himself. And what do you do with your knives? Come Pesach time, put in hot water. So this is the kasha all the Rishonim are dealing with. And Rabbeinu Tam formulates two important principles, both which are make it into Shulchan Aruch, or some are disputed by some of the Rishonim. Both foundational principles in Hilchot Hesher Kelim. But Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Yeshel Chalik Gabi Chometz, Mishum Dehetera Boa. Chometz is different because when it went in, it was mutter. The Gemara Pesachim is different. He's basing himself on a Gemara over here in Avodah Zarah. Look over here, Ois Tes. The Gemara says, we have the rules, right? Trevor, we know when you need Libun, when you need Hagalah. Libun, if it was used with direct heat, in order to get it out, you need Libun again. Direct heat. If it was used with a medium of water or anything less than direct heat, Hagalah, put it in a pot of boiling hot water, you dip it in for a second, the flavor comes out, goes into that water, dissipates, and I take my kli out. So a person trapes up a spoon, a woman is making, you know, takes a milk spoon to mix chicken soup, you take the spoon, you put it in a pot of boiling hot water, that kashers the spoon. Yeah.
When you do Hagala, do you do the entire
clay
or only the part where that's
the entire clay, because the Gemara says, very good, because why? The Gemara says when it's metal, so the flavor spreads throughout the entire thing. And even a knife also, sometimes when you're cutting, the food gets lodged inside the handle. If the handle's not metal, you might not need to kasher it. We do, though. But you dip it in hot water. You don't need to put it in Libun, right? Even if you require Libun, the handle doesn't require Libun. That didn't come to us, really, but we would kasher it.
Yeah. You see, this idea also applies by Noser, because at the time of the carbon, it was...
Oh, so that's exactly what the Gemara brings up. So, again, the Gemara says over here, looking at the Zohar, asks a similar contradiction. Rami le Rav Amam le Rav Ash, le Rav Sheshes. Shfudim v'asalam le'lavna b'or. What do you do with a spit and a barbecue? It requires Libun. By the way, that's why you can never kasher a barbecue for Pesach. Our barbecues, you can never kasher because you would require direct heat. So people will say, yeah, but I'll turn on the barbecue. Yeah, but there's so much cook on the bottom of a barbecue. No one ever cleans out the barbecue. Even the most neat person, I don't know, I'm talking to Fnei. Your father's a major barbecue expert, but maybe I'm talking out of my league. But you can't kasher a barbecue. It says on the OU website, you can't kasher a barbecue. There's so much gook at the bottom of a barbecue. No one, the same person cleans that out every time. So there's always stuff caught over there. You can't heat up the entire oven of the barbecue. It should be so hot. Fine. But what do you do with it if you want to kasher it? Malam nimbor. You require libun. According to Shulchan Aruch, it's like sparks flying, or at least 500 to 600 degrees. 1 minute, but we said in order to remove the flavor of the carbon before it becomes nicer, it's enough if you put it in hot water. You don't require libun. So Amalei Rabbi Amram Berei, my Indian kachem eats a geule of the kachavim. What are you comparing machalas asuras to kachem? Hacha heterabala, hacha isurabala. If it went in when it was mutter, then you never require libun. Even if it went in through direct heat, it's enough if you remove it with hot water. Never required direct heat.
Why not just say you don't even have to remove it? Like what?
No, it will become noser if you leave it there.
Fine, so why do you need Hagala? You're saying if you don't need Libun for something that was put through a fire.
Yeah.
So why would you even need Hagala?
No, it's enough with Hagala to remove it.
I'm trying to say, why would you even need Hagala?
Phrase the question differently. What you should, what you should be saying is, if Hagala could work here in place of Libun, why do I ever need Libun?
I would say because it's a terrible.
No, but it's going to come out when it's Yisurbo. I'm going to wait 24 hours, then the flavor is going to come out and affect the food that I cook in it. But if I did Hagala, even though I really required Libun, since when it went in it was mutter, it's okay. What? Why? Why? Right? If it went into direct heat, means it's so far embedded that in order to get it out, I need direct heat again. And if it went through hot water, it's not that far embedded, so I could get it out with hot water. So how come over here, because it went in when it was mutter, even though later on it's going to become us, after 24 hours it's going to become later, like macholos asuris, yeah, but if I did hagala before then, it's okay. Why? Why? So the Ramban here explains. The Ritva here explains in the name of the Ramban, where he says, here, in the second part of the underlined section, second line of the underlines, he says, V'lo amu hetera bala el b'kadshim, d'b'shah shabala lo hayanesar klal, d'yisura mishum noisar. What is the Isur here? It's because of noisar. V'ahi shaita, ikasi lo hayanoisar, v'onesar klal. When you want to take it out, it's not noisar yet. V'ain shem noisar alav, it's not yet called noisar. U'la acha shabala nasa noisar. After it's absorbed in, it's going to become noisar. V'ahi shaita, ain isur noisar roi lichol. What happens when I do Hagala, explains the Ramban, quoted here by the Ritva, and all the Rishonim echo the same idea, is that it weakens the flavor. It doesn't remove it entirely, but it weakens it. So if I'm dealing with Macholos Asuris Mamish, that's Asur now, so it's already Asur, weakening it is not good enough. You got to take it all out. But over here, since it's Mutter right now, it's not yet Noisar. So when I do Hagala, it makes the flavor to a weakened state. That weakened state cannot acquire the status of noisa later on because it's already weakened. See, if I have chazer treif that I cook in the pot, that's chazer treif already. Weakening it is not enough because it's going to go into my food that I subsequently cook there. But if it's not yet noisa, it's mutter now, and I weaken it, I disable it, you know, kind of to the degree that when it will become noisa, meaning 24 hours have passed, noisa can't take effect now because it's already in too much of a weakened state. So that's what he said. That he shayt lo haya noisar v'onesar kol ve'enshem noisar olav. It does not yet noisar. Or the acha shabala nasa noisar. After it's already embedded in the clay, it's going to become noisar. But he shayt the ain isar noisar roi licha masha roi lifot aydei hagala. It's only if it could come out through hagala shahi belia gedoyo shahi banasenis tam. It's only if it's in its strongest, right, most potent form, then it could become noisar. Ukeshahigil, when you did hagala, even though it requires libun afopisha nishu b'malach, even though there's a little bit of flavor there, didn't come out. That a little bit cannot become noisar. So that's what's known as hetera bala. For that reason, by the way, major ramifications. If I have a utensil that was milchix, and I want to now make it nishix, but it was used directly with the fire, you can use hagala. You don't need libun in order to kasha from milchix to fleishix. It's enough with hagala. Now, we have a minig. We don't kasha back and forth from milchix to fleishix. Very strong minig by Ashkenazi. Sephardim might not have such a minig. We don't kasha back and forth from milchix to fleishix because you'll forget from day to day. Well, what is this? I don't remember it anymore. And we'll just forget about it. So we really don't do it when we're kashing for Pesach. So then you can kasha back and forth from milchix to Pesach, so you have like a loophole. Either way, I'm kashering it for Pesach, so once after Pesach, I can switch it now to a different gender. But otherwise, we don't kasha back and forth. But even if it would be kashering, it happens though all the time, because a person, let's say, has a fleishik pot, and he by accident uses it for milchix. But it's after 24 hours, we'll get to that tomorrow. It's after 24 hours, so it's not going to become basa b'chalo. Because after 24 hours, the fleishik atam, there was a chicken soup pot, already is too weak, it can't become basa b'chalav anymore. But I cooked cheese casserole in the chicken soup pot. Now what do I do with it? It's confused. It's a milchix, it's a fleishik, so what am I going to use it for? So you have to kasher it. But, you know, here it would be enough with water anyway, because it's a pot that was used with water. But even if it would be something used directly with a fire, like a spatula, I would be able to just do hagala because it's hetera bala. It went in when it was milchix or fleishix, not both. It's not treif. It's not basa b'chala mamish. Just like it's caught in limbo. It's neither milchix nor fleishix. I could kasher it with hagala, even though it could have required libo. That's the rule of hetera bala. Okay, mamish. This is mamish. Survey of all from chesach shakeru. So, Kevin, was that the rule of hetera bala? Says Rabbeinu Tam like this: how should we view chametz the whole year long? Chametz the whole year long is hetera bala, or chametz the whole year long is isura bala? Is that like treif? Is chametz the whole year long treif? Or is chametz the whole year long like milk? When you put it together with meat, it's a problem. Independently, it's fine. So it's over here. Or kachim, within 24 hours. Right now, it's fine. after 24 hours, you're going to have a problem. How should we view chametz before Pesach? Is that like macholos asuras, or is that like milchiks and fleishiks? And it should be enough with just hagola, even though I might have required reward. So Rabbeinu Tam views it as heterable. It says Rabbeinu Tam over here on the third line. Rabbeinu Tam, v'yesh lechalek gabi chametz mishum de heterabola. Chametz is different. Even though the knife might have required libun, for Pesach it's enough with hagola, because Pesach chametz on Pesach is heterabola. The ibn inyan zemachalik besov mesechus avodah zarah. Afakav the hashda the beli havi yisura. Even though now when it goes in, it will become aser mikomakom b'shas bliya have a hetera. At the time that it came in, it was mutter afakav the Ravashi gufa mechalik kain. Even though Ravashi himself is the one who makes that distinction, and the Gemara says, who is the one who bought new knives for Pesach? That was Ravashi. Why didn't he just kasher his knives if it's hetera boa? Come Ravashi gedidi chadosi abdili machmer al atzmohaya. That was, he was being machmer on himself, and he did libun. Linear the hard masik hilks of the barois can have a maskana the milk of Ravashi. And that was actually the conclusion of Ravashi, that on Pesach is always enough with Hagala, you never require libun because it's heterabala. Our Gemara, which says knives require libun, that's talking about avodah zarah. It was used directly with heat. It's usher now. It went in with heat. You gotta take it out with heat. But chametz, that's the Gemara says, what are you talking about? You can take knives and just put it in hot water. That's because chametz, when it's before Pesach, is like a terabala. And therefore, you can put it just directly in water. All right, we're going to have to see if all the Rishonim agree with this. And then it's about to snow. I want to get home. So we're going to have to see if all the Rishonim agree with this. How do we pass in Shulchan Aruch? What is it based on? And Rabbeinu Tam is another big chiddush at the bottom. Oh, my gosh. I have to figure that out also. All right. Review of over.